it's been, but time flies. How many of you find that time is flying? Yeah, wow. Let's pray. Great King, we thank you that in you there all time exists. And thank you for teaching us how to live and move and have our being more completely in you than we've ever understood before. Teach us, Lord, how to exist in your spirit, in fellowship with you, so that time and space and distance, Lord, are to us as they are to you, and that we would be able to move through our lives, Lord, in that kind of supernatural fellowship and supernatural life. So I pray for Rabbi Ed and Alberta and Bruce and Jane and the other leaders and the congregation here, that you would take the seed of Abraham where the seed has never gone before, Lord. That you would make the seed of Abraham truly a portal of your kingdom in this community and even into the nations of the earth. Bless the podcasts that are going out, Lord, and bless Alan's faithfulness, Lord, for serving the greater body, Lord Jesus. Bless this worship team, Lord, who loves to worship you, and the dancers that love to honor you with their bodies and their movement and worshiping you with their movement. Lord, I just bless this community of faith, Lord, in this city and in this nation, Lord, and even as it opens its arms to the nations of the earth and the people it sent to. We think of Paul and Nancy in the Philippines, Lord, and we bless their activities. We bless their health. We bless their finances. We bless the new disciples that are being drawn to them, Father God. Lord, we thank you for the outreach to your people Israel, Lord, that comes through this place, Lord, that as you, Lord, right now are even stirring hearts of Jewish people, Lord, that they would be stirred, Lord, to explore what they've never explored before and think what they've never thought before to do, Lord. What has never even appeared on the horizon of their life. Mighty God, I thank you for this congregation, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this cameraman who's having troubles following me with his camera. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He didn't expect this when he picked up that camera. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's saying, I wish this guy would stand still already. I'm in the river, brother. I can't stop. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Let's just continue to wait upon the Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for the worship you inspire in this place. Lord, the many battles this worship team has been through over the years, and we know, Lord, that the enemy hates your worship, and he attacks worship teams, worship leaders. So, Lord, we thank you for opening up new realms of worship to the seed of Abraham, new realms of worship to the worship team. Lord, would you show them a whole new realm of worship, Lord God? Would you just bring a spirit of revelation in worship, Father? A spirit of revelation in the Word of God. A spirit of revelation in fellowship, Lord. That everything that happens in the seed of Abraham, Lord, would be in the spirit of revelation. Lord, I pray that you would release upon this community a spirit of revelation, and that you would give us the ability to steward that revelation, Lord, that it wouldn't fall to the ground and it wouldn't be despised and it wouldn't be ignored. Oh, there's another prophetic word, ho-hum. But, Lord, that we would capture your word, Lord, as precious as it actually is, and then we would run with it and we would steward it and we would nurture it and we would babysit it, if you will, Lord. And to brood over it, to see it come to pass. And Lord, that we would honor each other as vessels of revelation, Lord. And we would be calling forth revelation from one another, Lord. Your purposes, Father, in everybody's life. Lord, may we steward a river in this place, Lord. Would you open up that understanding and that impartation, Lord? that we would be able to truly experience that river that flows from your innermost being, because you are the river, the living God, you are the river, Lord, and we want to meet with you. We want to be in you and in what you want to do. Teach us how to steward that in one another's lives, Lord. Teach us how to be diligent and intentional stewards of one another's anointing, Lord. Thank you, Father, for bringing forth that kind of intentionality, Lord God. In the name of Yeshua. I was ministering on Vancouver Island, that's on the west coast of Canada, a few weeks ago, and the Lord gave me a word for a congregation there about provoking intentionally one another to love and good works. Yes. Purposefully and intentionally provoking one another to love and good works. So I want to talk to you this evening on a couple of levels about what you're intentional about. What purpose do you have in mind? And being intentional about fulfilling that purpose. And then looking at one another with an intentionality. Looking at one another with a purpose to provoke one another to love and good works, which is the calling forth of that which God has called each one of us to do. Because what happens so often is we have superficial relationships with one another in the spirit. We've learned how to go to church together. We've learned how to say hello or God bless you. Or if you get in messianic circles, we speak it in Hebraic kinds of cultural terms, you know. But it's the same kind of on the human level of just being superficial. And I believe that if we're going to steward an anointing of the Holy Spirit, if we're going to create a vessel that the Holy Spirit can truly pour into, if we would create a community that the Holy Spirit can see, aha, I have people I can really pour a spirit of revelation into because they're going to do what I want done with it. It won't just be entertainment. Come and get a prophetic word. Yea, verily, way. This said, the Lord says this, the Lord said that. Oh, wasn't it a great meeting? And what's for dinner? You know? But to really have an attitude of heart to one another, this is crucial. If we're going to be a people, a community of faith, that will steward a move of the Spirit, that will steward the river of God, we have to create a wineskin that can hold the wine. The wineskin is our relationships with one another. The fabric of the wineskin is our relationship one with another. And that relationship has to be intentional. And it has to be purposeful. That means I have to look at you with a certain way of thinking. You have to look at me with a certain way of thinking. We can't dismiss one another. Oh, I don't like him, or I don't like her, or this is not good, or that's not good. You have lost the right to think about one another the moment you said to Jesus, "You're Lord and I'm not." The moment you surrendered your life to him and said, "I want to serve your purposes for my life. I want to fulfill your destiny for my life." And you really meant that. You made that brit, that covenant with him. And you cut that covenant in your heart with him that said, "Lord, you can circumcise my heart for your will and your ways, and your plans and your purposes. And I want to be that man and I want to be that woman." The moment you said that, you stopped having the right to live for yourself. You stopped having the right to choose what you like, what you don't like, who you're going to be with and who you're not going to be with, and how you're going to conduct yourself. You've lost that right. And a lot of people at this moment, they want to back away and say, "No, I'm going to another church. I want some other kind of message." But as I read the Bible, these are the things that I see God looking for as he searches the earth. You know, well, he's looking for those disciples. Jesus was not out trying to please the crowd. He wasn't interested in their approval. He wasn't interested in their honor. He was interested in the honor of God, because he knew if he was looking for the honor of men, it would be fleeting, because the moment he said something they didn't like, they'd be offended and they'd reject him. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Because this isn't about us. Do you understand that? This is about being purposeful and intentional in our relationship with one another for the purposes of God to be fulfilled, not for you to be honored. Now, there is an honor that God will bestow upon you. That was a good place to say amen. There is an honor that God wants to bestow upon you, because he's training us to sit on his throne with him. Do you understand that? He's training us for authority. He's training us to rule and reign with him. Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says, I counsel of you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And if you overcome like I have overcome, then you can sit on my throne with me as I've overcome and sitting on my Father's throne with him. So there's this gold tried in the fire that you purchase from God. And isn't that an interesting phrase that he uses there? I counsel you. This is good advice. If Jesus is offering you his counsel, this is good advice, right? And what did he say? I'm giving you some advice now. I'm counseling you, buy from me gold tried in the fire. So the first question naturally is, well, how do I buy things from God? He's not interested in your money. He's not interested, you know, in your cash. He's interested in the only thing you can purchase things from God with, your life. You give him your life. Tried in the fire. How many of you have been ever tried in the fire? How many of you are still being tried in the fire? Hallelujah. If your hand's not up, you're dead. We need to raise you from the dead. Hallelujah. If you're not being tried in the fire, you're not alive in this world. Hallelujah. How many of you have learned to rejoice in the trials of your faith? Hallelujah. A couple of you, unless we have to lay hands on you. Hallelujah. Because let me tell you something, free advice, it's much more fun to go through the trials rejoicing than whinging and whining and complaining. Amen. I think you've heard me say this in this congregation, there's no kvetching in the kingdom of God. Now's a good place to say amen, even though if you didn't like it. Because I know, you know, Janet and I are Jewish believers and we come from a long line of kvetches. You know, so we know all about that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Moses was the, you know, led the Jewish people to the only place in the Middle East that doesn't have oil. You know, it's like they're just complaining. You know what I mean? It's like, what's the matter with you? Did you get lost on the way? You know, it's just, never lose your sense of humor, by the way, okay? Because one of the things the enemy would want to rob from you, one of the first things is your ability to laugh and enjoy yourself. Because if he can get you full of yourself and sad for yourself and pitying yourself, he wins. You've already lost. You've already lost the battle because you're always thinking about yourself. But the saints are always rejoicing because it's not about me. Lord, this isn't about me. This is about you. What do you want to do? You told me to rejoice in you and thank you. I'm going to rejoice in you and thank you. And it hurts. How many of you know that God will bring you into places that hurt you? How many of you know that he's not a sadist? He's not doing it purposely and intentionally because he likes to see you in pain? No, but pain is part of the process of growing up and maturing. Yeah. Yeah. I say that to you again. Pain is part of the process of growing up and maturing. How many of you want to grow up and mature? Okay, that means that you're going to go through painful and difficult situations. But I'm telling you that if you go through it rejoicing and full of thanksgiving, it'll be like an anesthesia for you. You know, trust me, I'm a doctor. This is medicine for you to take. And so you can intentionally rejoice. You tell your soul, rejoice, oh my soul. Don't allow your soul to get into self-pity. And then, this is being intentional in our relationships with one another, you don't allow your brothers and sisters to get into self-pity. They come to the congregation and they're not smiling, they're not rejoicing. You're in their face rebuking them. Now, some people don't like this. I don't care. I'm telling you how you can manage your soul in the realm of the Spirit with the living God and fight the devil and get victory. And this is what makes the sense of community so exciting and so valuable and so wonderful, is that we can find people together to do this with, that I'm not alone. I've got people got my back and I've got people in my face. Because in order for you to have my back, you have to be in my face. In order for me to have your back, I have to have permission from you to be in your face. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? You can't go into somebody's life if they haven't invited you. But if you're a real disciple of the kingdom of God, you're going to invite people to speak into your life so that you can learn and change and grow. Otherwise, you'll deceive yourself, because we are excellent. We're excellent at deceiving ourselves. We are all masters at self-deception. How are you, fine liar? Because you've learned how to put your, you know, your Christian or messianic smile on. How are you? Good. Fine. Ask my wife. Liar. How's she doing? You know, though, that for a second, the truth comes up. But if you're intentional, you're intentional, you're purposeful in wanting to help your brothers and sisters learn, change, and grow to maturity as a disciple, and you've received other people into your life. This is not easy to do. This is why most people do not do it. We'd much rather have the safer ground of superficiality, where you can come and go as you please. Nobody speaks to you. You've not given anybody permission to speak into your life. You know, you're the master of your soul. You're going to do what you want, whichever way you want. You live like that, but you'll never bear the fruit of God in your life that God has intended for you to live on. On the great day, you will not have the gold and silver and precious stones that you should have had. You'll have the wood, hay, and stubble, because you didn't allow God to do the work that he really wanted to do during your sojourn in this world. Amen. Now, here's the thing. That you have an opportunity, and please hear me say this to you. Nobody can do this in your life but you. Nobody can force you to do it. Nobody can manipulate you into do it by guilt or by whatever. This is a choice that you make for your soul before the Lord that says, yes, Lord, I'm going to have relationship with my brothers and my sisters because I want the prize. I want what Jesus has assigned for me. I want that. And then you create, please hear me say this to you, you create a dynamic inside your spirit that's magnetic. And you start attracting. Watch this happen. If you do what I'm telling you, you will watch this happen. You will create a magnet inside of you that will attract to you the people, the situations, and the circumstances of life that you need to grow. This doesn't necessarily mean that you will like what's happening or that you will like the people that you get connected to. That was an important place to say amen, because I know you didn't like it, and I don't care, because it's good for you if you really want to be a people who want to create a portal for God to have in the world. This is about him, amen? This is about what he wants to do, not about what we want to do. Otherwise, we create our own church that we like. You know, we like these songs, we like this message, we only want those people. And how many of you have been in churches where you knew that you were not welcome? That you didn't look right, you didn't have the right color skin, you didn't have the right background, you didn't have the white whatever, and you know there were the very subtle clues that said, no, we don't want those kinds of people in our church. You know, but I'm telling you that if we will be a people who are really welcoming the Holy Spirit, we have to be purposeful and intentional in our relationships with one another. That's all about helping one another learn, change, grow to maturity. So I take on a responsibility in my heart. Lord, whoever will receive me in their life, my goal will be in whatever way that I can, even if it's a tiny little bit of saying, bless you, I encourage you, I pray for you, whatever I can do. You know, it's because many people think, well, what can I do? I'm only one person. But I'm going to tell you something. A smile can change someone's destiny. A word of encouragement at the right moment, you intersect their life. When the enemy is coming in like a flood and they're full of depression and self-pity and nobody loves me and I'm all alone, and they show up in the congregation, or you meet them out in your life somewhere, and you say, oh, I know you. You come to the congregation. We've never met. Hi, my name is Howard, and I just want to bless you, brother. I just want you to know it was so nice to see you the other day, and can I pray for you? And that has such power, it changes their life. 5 years later, you know, you're having a conversation with that person, and they say to you, you know, when we met in the restaurant that day, and you came up to me and smiled at me and shook my hand and blessed me, and you're looking, no, I don't remember that at all. Because it wasn't that big a moment for you, because it's something you normally are doing. Hey, how are you? I bless you. But it intersected that person at the moment that transformed them, because God was saying, see, you're not alone. See, I am with you. See, I know your name. I know where you live, and I caused that to happen. Do you follow what I'm saying to you? Because you have a mentality that every day I'm going to be purposeful. Every day I'm going to be intentional. Every day I'm going to be thinking about how can I be part of the fabric of the wineskin that creates a dynamic that says, Holy Spirit, we want you to come. Do you understand what I feel the Holy Spirit wants to say tonight? That He is looking for individuals. And you know what, beloved? It doesn't take a ton of people. It just doesn't. It just takes people whose hearts are saying, yes, Lord, for me and my life. For me and my life, I will serve your purposes. Show me how to be intentional, how to be purposeful in creating the kinds of relationships that helps my brothers and sisters grow. That helps my brothers and sisters fulfill their destiny. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know what? Let's just go back into chapter 3. And then we might as well go all the way back to Genesis 1. For context. Now, here's Paul. Paul is saying this. Now, the Lord, this is the end of 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, that means you're not hiding. Say, not hiding. You're not hiding. You're not hiding behind fear. You're not hiding behind the fear of rejection. You're not hiding behind a persona that you want to project so that people think of you in a certain way. You're not hiding behind anything. You're saying, this is who I am today. This is where I'm at today. This is what I've learned so far. This is the good, the bad, the ugly, the weakness, you know, the positive, the negative, the things that are good, the things that are not so good, the weaknesses. Here's everything. Can you understand what I'm saying? Isn't it so much easier to live without trying to always edit what you're saying? Always trying to be something you're not or live up to other people's expectations? It's so much easier to just be yourself. I have learned that lesson. It's just easier to be yourself. So we all, with unveiled faces, being yourself. Lord, here I am with my weaknesses. Here I am with my unbelief yet. Here I am with the issues in my soul that I haven't overcome. Here I am with the junk and the good stuff. Here I am, Lord, with what I've overcome already. Here I am with the things I've learned already. Here I am with the victories I've achieved. Here I am with the victories I haven't yet achieved. Here I am with all of these things. Lord, here I am with an unveiled face looking into this mirror. And because I am coming to God honestly, I can behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and He can transform me into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Spirit. The Spirit of God is able to transform me because I'm looking at Him honestly. That's my paraphrase of this. God is able to transform me because I'm able to just be myself before Him and say, okay, Lord, here I am. I'm not saying it's okay for me to stay here. I'm saying this is where I am because I want to go forward. Do you want to go forward? This is a going forward message for people. This is not a message about it's okay to be where you are. It's not. It's okay to say, oh, this is where I'm at, but I'm not choosing to stay here. And as much as it's within me, I'm not going to allow my brothers and sisters to remain the same. I'm going to be intentional and purposeful, provoking them to love and good works, and drawing out of them, we're going to see this in a little bit, drawing out of them the gifts and callings of God, because we have a responsibility to take care of one another. Do you understand that? We are our brother's keeper. I have a responsibility to you, and you have a responsibility to me, and we have a responsibility to one another to help each other learn and change and grow. And in most churches in the Western world, we don't operate like that. We operate in terms of self-protection, territorialism, superficiality, and I'll go and I'll put my money in, and if I like it, I'll support it, and if I don't, I'll find another thing that I like, without ever asking God if He likes it. You know, people come to me complaining, you know, about the worship in certain churches, and I say, well, I've got news for you. We're not worshiping you. Because they're complaining, well, I don't like the worship. As if we're worshiping them, you know. I say, excuse me, your name isn't in the hymnal or in the overhead projector or in the PowerPoint. We're not worshiping you. What are you complaining about? I don't like the worship. Instead, you need to repent and ask the King if He likes it and wants you to enter in. I'm not going to dance. I hate when people say that, because I know if they say that and they're like trying to be a disciple, that don't work, because God's going to say, oh yeah? And He'll make your feet move. Because I heard a testimony of a guy like that who was, you know, adamant, I am not going to dance. And his foot starts moving. And he can't stop it. He thinks he's having some kind of a stroke or some kind of a fit or something because his foot is going and he can't stop it. And the Lord's saying, you're going to dance? Apparently I am. I'm just saying, you want to have an unveiled face before the Lord saying yes to Him. Because He's looking for a people to say yes to Him. And you know what? I love this, and it also scares me about God, because He is no respecter of persons. That if you say no, He will replace you with someone else. Because He is no respecter of persons. That scares me. And I don't like saying that. But it's the truth. Because He is no respecter of persons. So if you say no, and He wants it to happen, He's going to say, what can I do? I offered it to you, and you've said no. And there's somebody who's saying, Lord, I'll do it. Whatever you want, Lord, I'll do it. Whatever you want. You want someone to sing and dance or go out on the streets and preach on the streets? I'll do it. Whatever you want. I'm not saying that's what He's saying to you to do, but it might be something that, whatever, using that as an example. I'll do it, Lord. And so the anointing that God intended to give to you, because you refused it, He'll give to someone else. That's right. And so did Reinhard Bonnke, and so did Oral Roberts. Now, the Lord woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning once. Well, He's actually done it many times. How many of you know that Jesus loves 4 a.m.? Look at all the people. It's like the Bible says that he who keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. So He's thinking, if I'm not sleeping, why should you? I'm thinking, why can't we do this at 4 in the afternoon instead of 4 in the morning? You know what I mean? What's the 4 a.m. deal? So I think he wakes us up because maybe there's a little less resistance at 4 o'clock. Yes, Lord, whatever you want. Can I go back to sleep now? Then when you wake up, you're thinking, it was just all a dream anyway. It wasn't really the Lord. And so I was up praying, and he said to me, he asked me a question. And how many of you know that when the Lord asks you a question, he's not looking for information? Like, can you help me? So he said to me, remember the story of the feeding of the 5,000 and the 12 baskets that were left over? I said, yes, Lord, I remember that story. He said, what happened to the baskets? What happened to the basket? I said, how do I know what happened to the basket? But you were there. You were there. You should know what happened to the baskets. Why are you asking me what happened to the baskets? That didn't change his mind. He said, what happened to the baskets? I said, I don't know what happened to the baskets. He said, listen. He said, there were people in the crowd who were only interested in being fed. They were only interested in the fact that there was bread and fish available for them. And they didn't care about where it came from or the miracle that were taking place. They were just there for the loaves and the fishes. There were other people in the crowd that when they began watching what was happening, they stopped being interested in eating the loaves and fishes, but realizing these loaves and fishes had come from heaven. They had been supernaturally created right before their eyes, and they were watching this. And they're just continuing to watch it. And then they're watching the disciples leave these 12 baskets full of supernatural food. And the disciples didn't take it. They left it. And what happened to the baskets was that there were men and women in the crowd who wanted the supernatural food, and they went and took the basket home. And in my mind, as I'm listening to the Lord tell me this, I'm thinking, if Janet and I were in the crowd, she'd be saying to me, Howie, go and grab one of those baskets. Hurry up before somebody else gets it. And I'd be saying, I can't do that. They're not our baskets. You know, they don't belong to us. We just can't go. No, hurry, hurry. Get up and take a basket. Married to a Jewish woman, I'm just telling you, this is what would happen. But there were people, listen to me, there were people who saw the anointing, yes. They saw the miracle, and they wanted to participate in it. Right. And so I feel like the Lord is underlining this as one of the points he's making this evening, yes. Is that what are you seeing in the Spirit? What revelation are you really getting from the Father? When you pray, when you read the Word, when you're in worship like we had tonight, when you're dancing, when you're praying, when you're fasting, whatever you're doing in your walk with the Lord, what revelation are you really getting? When the rabbi is preaching or a guest minister is speaking or whatever, you know, wherever you are you seeing the loaves and fishes, the revelatory food being created for you? Are you taking it home with you? Because I sense, you know, we go to meetings and there are baskets of revelation that are left over, and that people just ignore it because, well, what? There could be a lot of different reasons why they ignore it. You know, basically they're living for themselves and they didn't want it, whatever. But there are other people who said, you know, Lord, whatever revelation is left over in this meeting, I'm taking it home. You know, and I'm looking for the baskets. You follow what I'm saying? You follow this analogy? That I'm looking for the basket of whatever you want for me, I want it. And if someone else doesn't want it, I'm not taking it from them. They've just rejected it and abandoned it. And here's a basket of supernatural loaves and fishes waiting for someone to take home. You follow this? Because you're saying, yes, Lord, I want to be a man and a woman of revelation. This is part of our inheritance in the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? That being a messianic Jew, that being a messianic Gentile, being a Christian, being a disciple of the kingdom of God, part of our inheritance is that you and I can be people, men and women of revelation, that we don't have to live by our cunning. We don't have to live by our intelligence. We don't have to live by the seeing of our eyes and the hearing of our ears, or what our brains can figure out about how to make money and what about my family and what about my kids and what about the people that I work with. We don't have to live by our cunning. We can live by the spirit of wisdom and revelation that is a gift to us from God. And we don't take advantage of it. And my plea to you this evening is that we would be a people that are intentionally caring for one another to help one another be people of revelation. Now look, so we're reading in 2 Corinthians. So the Spirit of God comes. We come to Him with an unveiled face. We're honest. We're open. We're humble with one another. I'm not hiding anything. You know, remember the old, maybe some of you were around the computers when they first got started. And there was this thing, a computer term called WYSIWYG. Does anybody of you ever heard of WYSIWYG? Yeah, the computer guy back there, he would know, of course. WYSIWYG. When Windows first got started and they had a GUI, and here we are, a GUI interface, GUI, graphical user interface, meaning what you saw on the computer screen when you press print, that's what actually came out. What you see is what you get. WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get. You know, and we need to be WYSIWYG people. What you see is what you get. Good, bad, ugly, immaturity, warts and all. Here we are together. What you see is what you get. Doesn't mean this is where we're staying. Just means it's where we're beginning. So we begin being WYSIWYG. Okay, that's I understand what I'm getting. I see you. You're not hiding. You're not pretending. You're not making believe you're somebody you're not. Here you are. Okay, we're in WYSIWYG relationship with one another. Good. That's where we're going to start. But that's not where we're going to end. And that's not where we're going to leave one another. That's not where we're going to end. And that's not where we're going to leave one another. Because our idea, our heart, our motive, our intention is to help one another learn and change and grow and be intentional about that. Be purposeful, speaking into one another's lives to help one another learn and change and grow. So Paul says, we've got the Holy Spirit. We're in an unveiled face. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. Any of you here receive mercy? Yes. Tons of mercy. Yes. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. Because we've received mercy. And if you've received mercy once, guess what? You're going to receive it again. Because His mercy endureth forever. That's right. As you sow mercy, you receive mercy. Because as you sow, so shall you reap. Now the mercy verses are popping up here. Yeah. That's right. His mercies are new. Every morning. Mercies, plural. Fresh mercies. Every day. Every day. Hallelujah. Now, look down with me to verse 7. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2 Corinthians 4, 7 and look at the phraseology that Paul uses here. Therefore, since we have this ministry, and verse 7, but we have this treasure. Treasure. The ministry, listen to me, every single one of you has ministry in your life. Different kinds of ministry, different forms of ministry, different expressions of ministry, because you have the treasure inside of you. Paul is paralleling this ministry with this treasure, which is Christ in one another. Now, look at this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. This earthen vessel stuff, that's the WYSIWYG stuff. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. The stuff that hasn't been overcome, the stuff that needs to be overcome, the stuff that's, you know, that we're afraid of, the stuff that causes us to reject ourselves or reject others, the stuff we're embarrassed about, the stuff we're ashamed of, the stuff we'd like nobody to know about. But if I'm in a relationship with brothers and sisters where I could simply be, hey, this is who I am. This is yet the earthen vessel, but there's a treasure in me. Watch this. And I intentionally and proactively look at you from the mindset that says, I see your earthen vessel, but that's not what I'm focused on. I'm out for the treasure. Yeah. I'm looking for the treasure. I tell people, I'm a flat out stone cold treasure hunter.
I tell people, I'm a flat-out, stone-cold treasure hunter. When I meet a brother and sister in the Lord, I don't care where they're from. I don't care where they're at. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care their problems or their difficulties or their struggles. I'm not interested in their earthen vessel. I'm interested in the treasure. I want the gold, I want the silver, I want the precious stone that's inside of them, and I'm calling for it. I'm intentional about it, I'm proactive about it. Everybody that I meet, every conversation that I have, in the back of my head is my Geiger counter for the treasure. You know the metal detector? You know what I mean? When it finds metal, it goes beep, 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 and now the really sophisticated ones say, well, this is gold, or this is silver, or this is diamonds, or whatever. You know, they have this ground-penetrating sonar, or whatever it is, the technology behind it, bing, bing, and you get different sounds. So I intentionally, like in my spirit, I'm trying to hear, Lord, what's the treasure in my brother? What's the treasure in my sister? Because look, the bottom line is it is so easy to see one another's faults. It's just really, really easy. We don't have to be with one another for more than a half an hour in most cases, you know, if we have an honest conversation with one another, or even not. That's also illustrative of where people are. You know, you could say, oh, yeah, he's a liar, she's a liar, you know what I mean? You know, or this guy is whatever, you know. And look, it's just the bottom line is it's just real easy to see the faults in one another. And to point our finger at each other's faults takes no talent. I mean, you can be with me and I can be with you in a half an hour. You'll say, oh, he's that or she's that or he's that or she's that. It's like putting a shotgun into a barrel of fish, pulling the trigger and killing all the fish and wanting everybody to be how proud of you because you're such a great fisherman. There's no talent in doing that. And finding fault with one another is like shooting fish in a barrel. However, seeing the fault, I'm not talking about being naive or ignorant or pretending. Yes, I see that fault. I see that failure. I see that struggle. I see that difficulty. But I'm not looking for that. I want to find the treasure in my brother. I want to find the treasure in my sister. Now you got to get close to Jesus. Now you need the spirit of revelation. Because for some people you're thinking, man, I don't see no treasure near them anywhere. If there's treasure in that guy, it's really buried. How many of you had moments like that? And Rabbi's hands, or if he had 12 hands, they'd all be up in the air. He said, I got a list of people like that. Oh my God. I'm still looking for treasure, he's thinking, in some people. And that's the truth. But, listen to me, it makes it so much easier for you to live, to be intentional and proactive in calling forth the gifts and callings of God if you've determined and said to that person, I'm going to speak the truth and love to you. Why? I want to see the treasure come out of you. I want to know, what is the word of the Lord to you? What are you hearing in your prayer? What do you mean God isn't speaking to you? When did you say no? Because, you know, we've had people say to us, well, you know, the Lord doesn't speak to me. And my response to them invariably is, well, when did you say no? Because you said no, he stopped talking. So you need to go back to the place where you said no and repent and say yes, and then he'll start talking to you again. Not complicated. You may not like it, but it's not complicated. It's simple. I thank God for simple things. So here the Lord will be speaking. So if I have an intentional, proactive, treasure-seeking relationship with you, I'm going to be after the treasure. What is the Lord saying to you? What revelation have you received? What is the Lord speaking as you study the Word? What is the Lord speaking as you pray? What is the Lord speaking to you in dreams? What is the Lord speaking to you in the Word? What is the Lord? What revelation are you receiving? And what are you doing about it? Oh, yes, I've had 2,500 prophecies. I have a collection of prophecies. I run to prophetic conferences. There's a prophetic anointing. I'm online. Pray for me. Yea, verily, yea, I shall go to the nations. Yea, I shall give you millions of dollars. Yea, they shall bow at your feet. You know, I mean, it's like... And then, of course, there's the prophecy, you need to get your house in order. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. How many, you're laughing is amen. Listen, I've discovered I have the gift of interpreting laughter. So, you know, if you're not you're not up to the amen, you're amening it with your giggles. Hallelujah. So, I'm not despising prophetic utterances by any means. God forbid. I'm just talking about the fact that if you've got a prophetic word, what are you doing about it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, but test everything. So if I got a prophetic word, I have to test it. I share it with my brothers and sisters. They're praying over it with me. And they say to me something like this. I say to you something like this. Well, if it's the word of the Lord, what are you doing about it? Everybody get quiet. This is where the rubber hits the road now. Now we go out of the ethereal kind of Holy Spirit stuff to the actual down-to-earth Holy Spirit stuff. What are you doing with the word of the Lord? How are you stewarding the gifts, the callings, the anointings? Well, you know, and I recently, in the very recent past, I've been with some people who have said to me, yes, God gave me a gift of songwriting, writing poems, and another person said to me, oh, yes, you know, God has given me a voice, and I know I have a lovely voice, but I don't sing before the Lord, and I don't worship in public, and I stopped, and I said, what? You cannot be a disciple and say no to God. How dare you repent? They invited me into their life. I'm a treasure hunter. I'm hearing them tell me about the treasure of songwriting and singing that's inside of them. And they're burying that on my watch, not in my relationship with them. I'm just, it's like I'm digging that treasure out. No, you rebuke those lies. I'll help you rebuke the lies. I'll help you find out what the lies are, but we're not going to let you keep that treasure buried inside of you. You're going to start singing. Even if you start singing in the shower, you know, you're going to start singing, and I'm going to hold you accountable to it. It's Tuesday. I'm going to call you next Tuesday. I'm going to see, did you start singing yet? Because anytime you see my name on your phone, my question is, are you singing yet? Because I'm a treasure hunter. I want that treasure to come out. Amen. In fact, with this one sister on the phone, I said, sing now. What? I said, sing. You have a song of the Lord inside of you? Yes. Sing it. I can't. Why not? Is the phone going to reach out and eat your face? She giggled like that. At the absurdity of it all, but it broke the moment. Sing. I got quiet. She said, you really mean it? I said, of course I mean it. Sing. You have a song of the Lord in your spirit? Yes. Sing it. Quiet, waiting. And then this beautiful anointed voice started to come through the phone. My spirit just like warmth went through my spirit. I said, sister, you have a beautiful voice. Then the tears start coming. Yes, before I was saved, I would sing in clubs and, you know, and I'm thinking, you have a professional quality voice and you buried it? Well, she started to repent and started singing, and so I'm calling forth that treasure. This is a fresh example, so I'm using it for you tonight. But I've been doing this for a while, so I have a little more skill in doing it. But the only way you'll get skilled in doing it is if you start wherever you are. You know, you got to start somewhere, right? The first journey, you know, the journey of 1,000 steps, you know, begins with the first one. So somewhere you're going to have to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to be purposeful. I'm going to be a treasure hunter. I'm going to speak to my brothers and sisters. What is the word of the Lord to you? What are you doing about it? How can I help you? And I'm going to be watching over you to see if you're not hearing the Lord. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that you repent. I'm going to pray that you go back to wherever you said no. And I'm going to call that out, because as far as you're concerned in my life and I'm concerned in your life, I'm after that treasure. So when you see me, that's what I'm going to ask you about. Did you hear the word of the Lord? Are you singing? Are you dancing? Are you preaching? Are you praying? Are you prophesying? Where's that guitar you buried in your closet 25 years ago because you tried to play it and somebody said, you can't play. And then you got all weepy. You know, I'm really bad and terrible. And there's the devil saying, that's right. You should never pick up your guitar again. But you can't sell it. You can't get rid of it. It sits there collecting dust. And every time you even think about it, there's those demons on guard because they're guarding that guitar. Yeah, you play that, they won't like it. Your fingers probably won't even work anymore. You'll be embarrassed. You'll be humiliated. You'll sound like a croaking frog. Whatever lie can stop you from digging up that gift will always be there till you become intentional and proactive in your own life and say to the devil, go to hell, I'm going to get my guitar out. I'm going to preach, I'm going to pray, I'm going to prophesy, you know, and you got a prayer inside of you, and that's what the Lord wants you to do, is pray out loud in the congregation, and you're sitting there, and your heart's racing like a trip hammer. You think if you open your mouth, you're going to flat out have a heart attack and die. And that's what the devil is saying. Yeah, 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 you'll die, you'll die, you'll die. They'll rebuke you, they'll rebuke you, they'll rebuke you. You'll be miserable, you'll be miserable, you'll be miserable. Until something inside of you says, if I die, I die, I'm going to obey. And you stand up and you pray this prayer and everybody feels the anointing because it's the gift of Christ inside of you. That prayer silences the demons because they've lost. And they leave because they don't like being around people who are victorious, or they leave. And you're praying, your eyes are closed, and everybody feels that anointing. Everybody's quiet. When you open your eyes, sit down, and everybody's staring at you like, whoa. Brother, where did you learn to pray like that?
Well, I really didn't learn to pray like that.
Why haven't you been praying? You've been sitting in this congregation for years. Why didn't you ever pray like that before?
The devil. The devil told me I would get hurt and embarrassed. So I didn't pray no more. I'm not praying.
And I'll tell you what, that person who prays that prayer will never be the same. Because that gift starts to come out of them. Then the next time the Lord says, pray for them, they go to pray for them. And then they start prophesying in their prayer. Then they start praying the kinds of prayers that get answered because they're full of faith. You follow what I'm saying to you? Because the gift of God is inside of them. And they, listen to me, they found, this is crucial, hear me say this to you, they found a group of people that are all about the same thing, calling everybody's gifts forward. Calling everybody's gifts forward. So that the whole community, the wineskin, has a part of their fabric, this mindset that says, what is the word of the Lord to you? What are you doing about it? We're all intentional treasure hunters, every one of us. You know, if you don't like me, go sit with him. He's worse than I am. He's going to be more after that treasure. And she's going to be more after that treasure. And you're going to finally get the revelation. Everybody here wants me to grow up. Everybody here wants me to obey. Everybody here wants me to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. What kind of church is this? It's a real congregation of the kingdom of God. Because everybody has the same heart. Everybody grow up. Everybody fulfill their destiny. Everybody obey the word of the Lord, and we do it together. Help one another together. Are you hearing this? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that the seed of Abraham will be a community of faith, a wineskin of intentional people. Proactive, intentional people that are calling forth the treasure out of everybody's life. And the treasure out of everybody who comes. That they'll be around a community of people that everybody has the same heart. Everybody has the same mind. Everybody has the same vision. Everybody has the same dream for one another. That the gifts and callings of God that's in everybody will come forth. that we will be a church of flat out, stone cold treasure hunters in the name of Yeshua, who is the treasure. Amen and amen. Bless you all. Amen.